John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Tuesday, 8th of May, 2012. Kadima to join coalition with Likud. Israeli High Court refuses government's petition to keep illegal settlement outposts. And Israeli army ransacks the office of Popular Committee in Ramallah. These stories and more are coming up, so stay tuned. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who also heads the Likud party, has reached an agreement with Shaul Mofaz, head of the Kadima opposition party, to form a new national unity government. The move will avoid the early election that, according to news yesterday, was likely to have been held in September. Israeli radio reported that under this agreement, Mofaz will become deputy prime minister and a minister without portfolio in the new government, and Kadima will hold a number of important ministerial portfolios. The Palestinian News Network reports that the Israeli Supreme Court has confirmed today the November ruling of the district court to evict Palestinians Ghazi Zaloum and Ismail Wazwaz from their properties in the neighbourhood of Al-Kurma in the Old City of Jerusalem in favour of Israeli settlers, giving us the reason that both properties belonged to Jews before 1948. Implementation of the eviction order may occur at any moment. The court also instructed that all court and attorney costs be paid by the two Palestinians. The Jewish organisation Atarit Kohanim has enabled 900 settlers to move into the Old City of Jerusalem, in addition to the 3,100 Jews living in the Jewish quarter. In other news, the Israeli High Court rejected on Monday the Israeli government's petition that the settlement outpost known as Ulpana, constructed on stolen Palestinian land, should be removed, confirming its previous decision of November 2011. The High Court set a date of July 1st for voluntary evacuation of the Ulpana outpost by its current residents, after which the Israeli military must remove them from the land. Because the case involved Palestinian landowners who had clear ownership of the land in question, the Israeli human rights group Yesh Din which represented the Palestinians in this case, said this was an important ruling which maintains the right of Palestinians to own land. The outpost of Ulpana is located adjacent to the Bet El settlement near Ramallah in the central West Bank. On Tuesday at dawn, Israeli soldiers invaded the Ramallah office of Stop the Wall, a grassroots organization that campaigns against the Israeli Separation Wall, and confiscated all their files and computers after trashing the office. Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, Palestinian MP and head of the Palestinian National Initiative, condemned the Israeli attack and the confiscation of documents, and said that this invasion is proof that Israel is carrying out an organized campaign against all forms of popular non-violent resistance. The army recently targeted other media facilities in Ramallah, including the offices of Watan TV and Jerusalem Educational TV in the city centre. Ramallah is classified as Area A under the Oslo agreements, supposedly under complete Palestinian civil and security control, but the Israeli army repeatedly violates these agreements with invasions and assaults. And that's all today from IMEMC News. This was the Tuesday, 8th of May, daily roundup of news from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hassan Cassis and William Temple.
Afghanistan, Monday, three NATO soldiers of unreported nationality were killed by an IED blast in eastern Afghanistan, according to a NATO press release. Afghanistan, Sunday, a man in an Afghan army uniform killed a U.S. soldier before being shot down in turn. Again, at least 19 American soldiers have been killed this way so far this year, most after the Quran burning incident. Afghanistan, Sunday, four American soldiers were killed by an IED blast in eastern Afghanistan. Originally, NATO reported three soldiers killed, but reported on Monday that a fourth soldier was killed by the same blast. Afghanistan, Sunday. At least one driver was killed and three other people injured when the Taliban attacked a line of trucks carrying supplies for NATO troops in northern Baghlan province. Three vehicles were also damaged after the Taliban fired rocket-propelled grenades on the convoy along a highway in Dushi district in the province, 150 kilometers north of Kabul. Afghanistan, Friday. Six civilians were killed in a NATO airstrike on a suspected hideout of Taliban militants in Sangin district of Helmand province, according to a statement to Helmand Provincial Administration released on Monday. Quote, Taliban militants opened fire on the checkpoints of Civil Order Police at ISAF on Friday, and in retaliation, the NATO-led ISAF aircrafts carried out air raids against the suspected hideout of the insurgents. But unfortunately, six innocent civilians were martyred, the statement added. The victims, according to the statement, include two boys, three girls, and a woman, all from the same family. ISAF, meaning NATO, has also confirmed the incident and apologized for the mistake, promising to help the remaining members of the ill-fated family. No apology can compensate for five murdered children, NATO. Afghanistan, Saturday. Members of the Afghan parliament strongly criticized the provision of the new strategic agreement with the U.S. that forbids Afghanistan from changing its form of government for the next 10 years. Apparently, this agreement forbids any constitutional amendments in Afghanistan for the next decade. Pakistan, Saturday. Yet another U.S. drone strike killed eight alleged militants near the Afghan border. This was the second U.S. drone strike into Pakistan in a week, despite strong opposition by the Pakistani government to this act of aggression by a nation that has not declared war on Pakistan. Pakistan, last Friday. A suicide bomber killed at least 19 people and injured more than 50 others in an attack on a security checkpoint near a market in northwest Pakistan. Mr. Barack Obama, these stories have changed little since the war started. Now's the time to pull the plug, bring all the troops home today. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTradio@hushmail.com.
It's all about the price of oil.
On the 5th of May, bicycle riders arrived in front of the White House, having set out from North Carolina, led by 86-year-old Sam Winston.
We stopped down at the in Lincoln at the Quaker House, and the Quakers just poured out lemonade and goodies for us and pulled us in out of the rain, and so nice. And that was the head of the school there, just a few blocks up, and let us come up and see the children and get an opportunity to talk to these children. There's about 100, maybe more, poured out, and we just had a good time talking to these children. I think this is where we're going to have to start.
Yes.
There's no need of trying to talk to people 87 years old, and they've been that hand in the road. They want us rocking away now. They don't want to be fooling with this. But we're going to have to start with these young folks and tell them about peace, and there's a better way. And we just had a good time there. We had a good time talking to these young folks and putting them up on our bicycle and having clapping and hollering peace. And that's the way we need to go.
Executive Director of Veterans for Peace nationally, and is now serving as a co-coordinator nationally for United for Peace and Justice. Please welcome Michael McPherson.
Yeah. Thank you so much. When I heard that you were doing this, and I found out that you were 86 years old and a World War II veteran, I mean, I couldn't do anything but at least come down, since I couldn't be on the ride with you, to greet you here for a number of reasons. One is because I'm just 47, and I can't imagine riding a bicycle 350 miles. And secondly, because you're an inspiration in that you're showing everyone that no matter how far in life you are, that you can take action, that you can make a difference, that you have a voice. And that's greatly appreciated, because sometimes it gets a little tiring trying to end these wars and change our country. And you doing this inspires me to keep going. So I really appreciate that. A World War II veteran, myself being a veteran, and you know, I've always been taught World War II was the right war, the correct war, and people could argue that or whatever. But the point being that you're standing up and saying that we need to change, that we need to move and go in a different direction, is a very powerful statement. And people will listen to you for saying that. The other thing I think we need to think about too, because it's just not war. War is a projection of something that's, I think, even deeper in all of us. On the way over here, I walked here from Union Station, and there's this sign on Massachusetts that talks about the victims of communism. And it's supposed to be a monument or a little sign to remind us of the 200 million, I think it says, victims of communism. Well, I took a picture of it because I started thinking about the victims of democracy. Now, I'm happy to live in democracy, so in no way am I, or at least we're trying to be a democracy. How much of a democracy are, that's a question. So I'm not trying to disparage the idea of democracy and the struggle that we're going through as a country to live in a democracy. But what it reminded me of is how we think in our nation that we're so right and everybody else is so wrong. And that we never think about the crimes that our nation has committed against people. And that allows us today to continue to do the things that we're doing. But the thing that I think is even deeper about it is that these crimes are interpersonal crimes, or crimes between people in our country. By that I mean Native Americans, African Americans, what's happened to people even in the past 30, 40 years where people have been lynched or beaten up or whatever. And we don't ever talk about these things. This is not something that we struggle with here in our own society. So that actually allows us to project that violence and that seeing of people as being the other allows us to project that onto people in other countries. So I guess my point is, while it's extremely important for us to stand up and speak out when our country attacks other people and creates enemies in other lands.
David Swan.
Thank you. I'm amazed by what Sam has done and the rest of you have done for a number of reasons, one of which I would be quite proud of myself if I bicycled 2 or 3 miles. I'm pretty proud I climbed all the stairs from the metro stop over there. Secondly, I think the message is incredible because this was done without a drop of the evil substance that drives a lot of these wars. No oil was consumed in riding this bicycle here from North Carolina. This oil is destroying our atmosphere. It's destroying the place where our children are going to have to live, and it's destroying our democracy in the process. And it is an incredibly useful excuse for wars. Obama has gone out of his way to destroy efforts to organize international action against the warming of our globe. He has gone out of his way to expand military powers and bases and wars around the world. And Obama got in a helicopter a few hours ago on the other side of this house and headed down to Richmond, Virginia, to try to undo some of the damage that Sam had been doing, spreading the good word through Virginia. And Obama has an event right now, happening right this minute in Richmond, Virginia, and they've been calling all around, called my house several times to let me know it was free. Did we mention it's free? Apparently people are not flocking to the Obama events anymore. But there are going to be people in that hall right now who know about what Sam's been doing and who are taking that message and the message against wars and against drones and against assassinations to President Obama. A young woman named Medea Benjamin was picked up at my house this morning by Shepard Johnson, one of your stops on your tour, and they headed over there to take Obama our message. So he's hearing this, even though he's in Richmond. We're going to be using drones to murder. And we're going to call it war when the president wants more powers, when we don't want civilian laws enforced. And we're going to call it law enforcement when we don't want the laws of war applied and we want to avoid the Geneva Conventions. But if it's law enforcement, one man who lives in that house is judge, jury, and executioner. We ought to have outgrown executions, period. If it's war, it's even worse. There was a young man, Tariq Ali, in Pakistan who met for a week in the capital of Pakistan within walking distance of the U.S. Embassy and the government of that country and learned how to make movies and went to film the victims of the drone strikes and 3 days later was himself targeted and murdered. And we called that law enforcement. Right? But this is a battlefield where one side is at a desk in the United States, thousands of miles away, and the other side, everybody's blindfolded and handcuffed on the battlefield, waiting as the buzzing noises overhead decide when their lives will end. This is terrorism. This is what we are doing. We are terrorizing the world.
This is my home, the country where my heart is. Here are my hopes, my dreams, my sacred shrine. But other hearts in other lands are beating with hopes and dreams as high and mine as mine.
They can't stop us, let them try!
On Friday, the 4th of May, with about half their members bare-chested in the heat, Occupy D.C. stormed into 801 Pennsylvania Avenue, Market Square, home of the D.C. offices of the New York Stock Exchange, in solidarity with hard-pressed Occupy Wall Street.
Quit my job. Here's the Wells Fargo.
Said forever, I would hold my head up.
We're at Wells Fargo, 801 Pennsylvania Ave. Well, there's a Wells Fargo in the corner. It says Market Square. So we're going in without shirts on. It's so I might lose signal going into the building. So we're occupying a building. Oh, security's already there waiting for us. That's odd. I mean, the cops were already on scene, but they didn't even bother.
They're there, too. No, I'm
now there's two of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, lobbies are cool, but.
And they're air conditioned.
I'm totally. It doesn't echo very nice.
As Occupy DC bailed out of 801 Penn, they ran into a member of the mainstream press outside, drawn by some of the information that court and legal challenges have gotten out of the Department of Homeland Security concerning Occupy DC and Occupy Wall Street.
Yep. Well, yeah. The reason why I'm looking for you guys, hey, is because yesterday the Homeland Security Department has released some information that's about the FOIA.
The IMF and World Bank meetings may be over, and Homeland Security can rant and rave all they want, but guess what? People have had enough of being occupied by the banks. People have had enough of being occupied by Wall Street. It's time to decolonize Main Street from Wall Street greed, and more people are standing up.
Hold your head up high. Raise your fist up in the air. Play metal louder than hell. Louder than hell.
The 3rd of May, seven anti-coal activists, one from DC Rising Tide, were arrested after blocking a delivery of coal to the Duke Energy Power Plant at Terrell, North Carolina. All were charged with misdemeanors. This comes just a week before a massive march in Charlotte, North Carolina against Bank of America's board meeting, and both are a test of strength for the upcoming Democratic National Convention, also in Charlotte. Greenpeace published a video on YouTube demanding that Apple stop buying electricity run their data centers from power plants like the Big Duke Energy Power Plant in North Carolina. This was the plant that had the delivery of an entire trainload of coal prevented by a hard blockade of the rail line of the power plant, including activists locked to the rails in steel lockboxes.
You're right now effectively blocking a coal train from entering the plant.
Hey, am I hearing that correctly?
We're not going to move until Duke Energy agrees to stop burning coal from mountaintop removal.
You wouldn't risk your life for that?
I've lost 80% of my family due to coal-connected diseases or directly in the coal mines or being hit by coal trucks. Anywhere you can see one of my family members dying, you will find coal somewhere behind it.
A huge part of who we are is where we're from. A huge part of my family's stories are all related to Appalachia. So to see that part of my family's history being destroyed by coal companies is not something I'm okay with. I think Apple has a huge influence. Apple would be a really large client for Duke Energy. So if Apple demands that they aren't using mountaintop removal coal, I think that, I hope, that Duke would hear that and hopefully change their practices as far as where they get their energy from. Hopefully they'll go to renewables.
We need to cut the demand for mountaintop coal gotten from mountaintop removal so that we can cut the deaths in eastern Kentucky and West Virginia.
The blockade was successful in preventing an entire trainload of coal from being delivered to the power plant. It consisted of modified steel lockboxes that clamped around the rails and were secured by having activists' arms locked inside. A banner across the rails strung between two tripods was also included to improve warning time to train operators of the exact location of the blockade. Kudos to Greenpeace, Katua Earth First, DC Rising Tide, and Mountain Keepers for shutting off this coal delivery to Duke Energy. They put their lives at risk to defend our good earth.
Shall die, open fire.